Blog Talk Radio. Good golly, Miss Holly, Sassy Southern and Psychic. Again, my name is Holly Harden, and thank you for joining us this evening. I have a very special treat for everyone. Tonight, we have my dear friend of over 20 years, Marin. And Marin is a member of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, and she is a dream expert. So we are going to be talking about dreams tonight. So we'll bring her on the air.
Hello.
Marin, you there?
Yes. Hello.
Hey.
Hi. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's so good to hear from
I'm
you.
I'm really excited.
Good, good, good. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what we're going to do this evening?
Okay. Thank you. First of all, I love the subject of dreams. I've been an avid dreamer for many years, and earlier, you know, maybe 40, 50 years ago, dreams were really not discussed. It was, oh, it's just a dream. It's not a big deal. So it's only recent in this culture that we have been discussing dreams, and actually dreams have some wonderful messages to share with the waking self. I participated in a lot of dream groups and attended a lot of dream studies. And so recently, I've been a member of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, and I do encourage you to, check out that website. It does deal with the part of it, but it has a lot of great information regarding the dream story, why we dream, how our brains work when we go to sleep, what goes offline when we go to sleep. So, for example, when we go to sleep, what goes offline is our motor kind of responses. Because if we were to have a dream and then we, wake up and run outside. I mean, all that is offline. Now, there is an exception to that, and that is sleepwalking. And that's called REM disorder or rapid eye movement disorder. And that's actually something that's treated medically. But so mm-hmm. What I'm talking about is when the body is at rest and when we're asleep and the dream self starts to, play stories. And they say that our dreams, we kind of work things out that we've gone through during the day. And so our dream selves, kind of work things out. There's also visitations, premonitions, reoccurring. There's also nightmarish kind of dreams. And we're just going to kind of be discovering a little about all that as we go. I thought I would start out with, you know, some particular common dream themes. And, you know, during this time, you know, during the pandemic time, people have had dreams about little bugs, you know, that are crawling all over, and it's really hard to get it off your body. So I'm just going to talk about bugs in a sense where, you know, we look at the waking self. What in the waking world is bugging you? What has you bugged about something? Another kind of symbol about bugs is fly on the wall, or bugging, or listening in on something. Are you being bugged? Are you bugging someone? So again, it depends on the context of the dream, and it depends on, you know, where a person is in their particular life. The other kind of thing I wanted to mention is, you know, which is a common dream theme, is a house. So, as you know, a house has many rooms, has living room, dining room, kitchen, bathroom, bedroom. And so typically, you know, in a general sense, a house sort of represents ourselves, our physical body. There are, you know, we live in a living room. We receive nourishment in the kitchen area. We eliminate waste materials in a private setting in the bathroom. And then there's the bedroom, which is very quiet and private and comforting. So when dreams occur, for example, in your bedroom, and let's say that bugs are crawling up the wall. So what in waking life is bugging you in a very personal sense? What bugs are invading your private and safe place? You know, those are the kind of questions I would ask. The other thing about houses, you know, it depends the story, right? There's three-story houses, two-story, four, five, six-story houses, whatever that is. So I would say generally, let's say it's a three-story house. I would ask, perhaps these are the stories in your life. So if we begin with the bottom floor, the first story, kind of, you know, getting along in life, trying to find things out, learning about things. As we get into the second floor, you know, the second story or the second era of your life, perhaps the top floor, you know, the spiritual or the awakening, the enlightenment of your life. And then, of course, there's the front yard and backyard and such. Stores, there are, what am I saying, stairs. There are stairs in the house that go up and down. We can say generally that as we go downstairs, we go deep within the psyche. We go deep within the essence of who we are, what we believe. And perhaps when we go upstairs, we go to the consciousness, we go to the awareness of the outside, the physical self. So that's, you know, this is just, these are just things to chew on. You know, I always encourage people to keep a dream journal. And, you know, sometimes it is hard to wake up and write something down, but it's a practice, like with anything else, it's a practice. So let's say you're just starting your dream journal. I would suggest waking up slowly, if you can, instead of having an alarm clock go off and wake up, you know. So if that kind of pops the dream out of the brain. But if you wake up slowly and then you kind of hang on to the very last thread of that dream. I don't know if in Harry Potter you've seen how Dumbledore pulls a thread from his from his head. And, you know, that's kind of that little piece of dream that can be written down and then be revisited later on. And then you'll start to, you know, reimagine or replay the dream. And, oh, yeah, there was this color. Oh, yeah, there were these numbers or whatever. And so a lot of things can be discovered by just a little dream snippet. So speaking of snippets, if, and I don't know how this is going to work, Holly. You'll have to guide this whole
process. Not a problem. Sure.
But if people have any questions about a dream, I would ask that you keep it as a dream snippet, you know, just something short or just a particular section of a dream, and then we can work on that. And you know, basically I just ask questions, and because it really is up to the dreamer to get that aha moment, or sometimes there isn't an aha moment, but, you know, I just try and ask questions. You know, how does it relate to your waking life? You know, I think dreams are beautiful pictures. They're beautiful stories. And, you know, when you show people a photograph of something, people are going to say, wow, where was that? You know, what beach was that at? Mountain range was that? And then, you know, then you kind of give them a little background. And so questions, you know, is there a river there? Were there fish? As a dreamer person, I would say, are you fishing for something?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Of that yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's fantastic. So Marin is here to answer your questions about dreams and dream snippets. So if you would like to speak with Marin, the phone number is 516-387-1921. That number again is 516-387-1921. We are not doing mini readings tonight. This is all about dreams. So please call in and let's go to our first caller. And you ready, Marin?
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Okay, great. Hi, you're on the air with Good Golly Miss Holly and Marin.
Hi, my name is Alyssa. How are you two doing?
Oh, we're doing great.
Wonderful.
Alyssa.
Awesome. I love to hear that.
How can we help you today, sweetie?
Well, I'm really excited because I don't generally have dreams. I usually have nightmares from complex PTSD. But today is my birthday, and I had a really cool dream. The part that
well,
I
happy birthday.
More,
that's
happy
cool.
Birthday.
Thank you.
We love
right?
that. Okay. Go ahead, sweetie.
The part I would like your help with is in the dream, so there was, you know, some before it, but the main part was an owl that was injured. It was storming and raining, and so I put my jacket over it, not covering its head, but just trying to keep the rain off of it, and it wasn't freaking out or flapping or anything. It was just kind of sitting there looking at me, and this was in a parking lot. And then, you know, I was trying to get somebody to get some help, and we saw a cop walk by, and I had him come over, and he was like, just let the owl go, just, you know, kind of rude about it. And so I stood up, and I walked away from the owl just a little bit, and the owl got up and took off with my jacket and dropped a little ways away where I couldn't get it. But the big part is the owl then came back, and I held up my hand like you do when you want a bird to perch on your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And the owl came back and perched on my hand. And I noticed when it came back, it had this really big, like foot-long white feather in its talons. And, you know, there had been a crowd there, so they saw this whole thing. And they're like, oh, my gosh, he gave you a gift since, you know, I had tried to help him. And, yeah, so I was, like, overwhelmed and wanted to cry because I was like, oh, my God, it's his way of saying thank you. What is your interpretation of that?
Well, now, is this snippet part of a longer dream?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see the owl become injured?
No.
Okay. So what I understand is the owl was injured. It was raining. It was stormy. And it was in a parking lot.
Yes.
And you threw a jacket over the owl. Is it to keep it warm or to... What can you explain throwing the jacket over the owl? Why was that?
Yeah, to keep it warm and to keep the rain off of him, especially since he was on, you know, the wet pavement.
Okay. So then we have a person who was uncaring. We have a person
mm-hmm.
that, you know, was kind of dismissive. And
yeah.
You kind of mentioned they were rude. So what is that person like? When you see that person or that being, what were they like?
I just remember it being a cop in a uniform. I had just briefly seen him kind of passing by the crowd because he was in a grocery store parking lot, and he was kind of passing by the crowd, and I saw him, and I told somebody else to go get him. To help us, to help the bird, to help the owl. And when he came, he was just like, you know, like, just leave the owl alone. Just go, you know, just leave him alone. And, yeah, just rude and dismissive.
So it was an authority figure that
mm-hmm.
Someone with power, someone with control that really didn't want to deal with the spiritual or with the owl, with the wisdom. So they were pretty much superficial. They were pretty much dealing on pavement, basically. Does that kind
okay.
of, you know? So what I'm going to ask is, if you were the owl and you are now on the ground and you see someone come up to you and place a jacket over you. So as the owl, what does the owl feel like?
I feel like in a wild animal sense, it'd be like, okay, what the heck are you doing to me? But in another sense, I feel like it might be like, okay, it's not hurting me. It's trying to protect me.
Okay. So in the beginning, it was kind of, what the heck is going on and who is this?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then can you sense how the owl changed the attitude?
Yeah, it was. But like I said, he wasn't like flapping his wings or trying to get away. He was just kind of looking at me like, okay, like this is okay. I trust you.
Okay. So can you feel that moment, I trust you?
Yeah.
So you can sense the change from what the heck is going on to, wait a minute, I can actually trust you.
Yeah.
Okay. And how does that feel? If you were the owl, how does that feel?
The first word that comes to mind is foreign.
Oh.
Like different.
So has the owl been treated poorly in the past?
I'm assuming so. More towards the middle part of the dream, when I initially met this owl, he was one of three that had been hit and was still on this little old truck that had pulled into the parking lot. And two of the other owls flew off and they were fine. But that owl, when he tried to fly away, he got about 20 feet up in the air, and that's when he fell down onto the pavement. And that's when I came over and put the jacket over him.
So the owl was hit?
Mm-hmm.
And did you see how, you mentioned that a truck came and hit the owls, but two of them got away, and this one
didn't. I didn't see the truck hit the owls. The owls were, like, laying on the hood and in the bed of the truck. And that's when he pulled in and parked is when they tried to get up and get away.
Wow. So, just for time's sake, mm-hmm. I'm sensing that this owl is a wonderful messenger. The owl has been hurt and perhaps has been unable to trust. Especially there were some authority figures that, on the outside that really didn't care. However, sometimes we say that things in our dreams are parts of ourselves. So there's a part of ourselves that is very comforting, puts a jacket over, tries to keep us warm, tries to call for help. And somehow we calm down. We have found that someone is kind and has tried to get help and keep us warm. So the owl, did you say that the owl flew off on its own?
Yeah, after I backed up and gave it some space, it ended up getting up and actually taking off with my jacket.
Okay, so backing up and giving it some space. And so I'm wondering in waking life, do we need to be given a little space so that we can take off? And perhaps, keep a little warmth with us, keep a memory of, actually that was pretty nice. But here's your jacket back, just kind of flying off.
Yeah.
But then again, the owl did come back, and it came back with a foot-long feather. And did you say that it was a white feather?
Yeah, it was pure white, and it was crazy because the owl was brown.
Oh, it's beautiful. And the white feather was in the talons.
Yes.
So, I love colors in dreams in that, the color brown, the colors can mean different things to, different people. For me, brown is earth and dirt and Mother Earth, the brownness of this being. And the fact that it wasn't a tiny feather, it was a foot-long white feather.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, again, it depends on the context. Feathers can also be pens. And so it reminds me of a quill. Something about writing. writing about a journey, writing about past, you know, hurts, writing about people who have cared, and yet giving space and taking time to trust. And the fact that it was in the talons, because owls, I don't know, have you been around owls and see how they fly and catch things?
I've seen videos, but I haven't been around them much.
Oof, they're pretty intense. Owls are very, very intense. They are focused. And when an owl looks at you, they look right through you. And when they catch something in their talons, it's very precise, very focused. And so that's why, again, only if this resonates with you, I'm wondering if, you know, the pureness of white, the airiness of a feather, and the length of it, like a quill, might be an encouragement of writing.
Yeah.
Does that?
Personally, when you said the quill and the writing, the thing that struck me was kind of writing my new chapter in mm-hmm. in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And sort of a message of there is kindness. You know? There is kindness.
Yeah.
Right now it's on pavement, you know, right now it's in a parking lot. But the earth is coming, perhaps. And here is a white feather for you, something that's focused, something that is very intense. However, the lightness of the feather, the pureness of the thought, and just kind of writing that down on a white piece of paper, maybe, you know, that kind
yeah.
of thing. Good. I hope that resonated somewhat.
It does. Thank you.
Can I chime in?
Okay.
Okay. So, Marin, that was awesome as usual. Marin and I have known each other, you know, since the year dot, and we're old now. So it's kind of like we share a brain. But I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. Owls are the only bird that has silent flight. Their wing feathers are actually almost tattered looking, so the air can flow through them, and they do not make sound when they fly. They're the only bird that can do that.
Wow,
so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They are, I collect owls. Owls resonate a lot with me. I'm kind of an owl person. And as far as the white large feather goes, in my years of practice and things like that, white feathers usually mean healing from the divine, moving forward, leaving the injuries behind. So you mentioned earlier in the conversation that you had PTSD. I understand that. I suffer from that myself. It is a crippling and debilitating situation. But I am seeing with this dream and from what your angels are telling me that, like you, like Marin said earlier, you're getting ready to write your own first new chapter in your life. And the owl, in my opinion, like kind of like Marin said, it kind of represents you.
Okay,
and
that makes sense.
You said, you had a fall.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You had a fall. And you were betrayed by people in authority. and but you are learning to pick yourself up and fly again. And the first person that you need to trust is you.
That is true. I've been doing a lot of counseling for mental health. So yeah, that's very true.
Because what happened had made you doubt your own judgment.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you don't need to doubt your judgment.
Yeah, there's a lot of medicine in this dream. And, you know, with harsh dreams, I always try and look at the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the messenger of the owl and the long white feather.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's in talons. I also appreciate that image.
Yeah.
Very precise. Don't mess with me, you know, very
you're
exact.
In control.
Absolutely.
You own it.
That's so awesome. I just remember being so overwhelmed with kind of joy and thankfulness that, you know, the
yeah.
owl had gifted me that.
You gifted it to yourself.
Do you write? Do you write down your dreams?
I don't really write down my dreams very often. Mostly I write down my nightmares, just because
you know, this might be one to write down. And
oh, I did write this one.
Absolutely. And you know, kind of go back into it and look at the owl again. And you might see something else. But this is a good medicine.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm glad it was
absolutely.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Well,
awesome.
We
well, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. You call
thank
us
you.
Back anytime. Maureen will be here every Monday. Okay.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Bye-bye. And happy birthday, sweetie.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye, sugar pie.
Bye-bye.
That
was beautiful.
That was powerful. That was really powerful. I'm all verklempt. Marin, oh my goodness me. Here I go with my Yiddish. All right. So let's go on to our, you ready for the next one?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you're on the air with Good Golly Miss Holly and Marin.
Hi, Holly. Hi, Marin. This is Donna from California. Hello.
Hey, Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. My dream is a short one, but I was in the dream. Let me see how it went. I'm sitting down at a table, and they call number 9, and I raised my hand, and that was my number. I won. And I won an elephant, but then I gave the elephant away. I hope I didn't give away a winning lottery ticket or something. Oh, jeez.
Okay.
That's neat.
So
was the elephant like a stuffed animal toy?
No, it was a real elephant.
It was a real elephant?
Yes.
Wow. And so where were you, where did this take place? So I kind of would like you to go back into the dream and what table or where was the table?
It didn't show me that, where it was.
Okay.
I just remember I remember sitting.
Was it inside a building?
It was inside a building.
Okay. And was the table, what shape was the table?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just, yeah. Yeah, I didn't get it vividly.
Okay. Were there other people there?
Yes.
Were they sitting at your table?
No, I just sensed that there were other people there.
Okay. Was it a large space, like a large hall or
large
convention
space.
Center?
So very
it was
big
a large
space.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you are sitting at that table, so kind of place yourself in the present moment. If you're sitting at that table, what are you feeling?
Well, you know, I've been a very lucky person in my lifetime. Like I won a BMW once, and I won a trip to Taiwan and Tahoe and Hawaii, and I just enter raffles and I seem to win. But I was excited to win, but then I couldn't believe that I won either. Which I don't like having that doubt too.
Uh-huh.
You know, especially when you're trying to manifest something, to have any doubt. And so I had a little bit of I can't believe I won this. And then the elephant appeared. Yeah.
So what does the elephant look like?
See, I don't know. I'm not that visual, really.
Okay.
I'm not that
That's
visual.
All right.
I just have a knowing. I just know things. I don't know how I know them, but I know them.
So how did you know that it was an elephant?
It just came to me. This is an elephant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What, and so it was something that you won.
Yes.
And then can you kind of describe giving it away? What does that mean?
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't deserving of it or something. I don't know. I don't know. When I was feeling it, like, yeah, maybe I was on a low or something, and I just kind of gave it away.
So was it a willing giving it away, or how? What was that like, giving it away? Was it a, I don't deserve it, or it's a willing, here, this is for you, or what
no,
kind,
I think it
what,
was like I'm, yeah, I think it's more like I'm not deserving of this, and I gave it away. I was feeling kind of sad, I think, at that point.
Oh, dear. And when did you have this dream, if I may ask?
It was a couple years ago.
Okay. So the other question I have is, what do elephants mean to you?
Luck.
What is an elephant?
I mean, elephants are intelligent. I think it's a beautiful animal. They are so good to their kids. And I mean, I don't have kids, so I'm not, you know, relating to me and my children, but they're good to other elephants. And I just think they're the majestic of the animals. I really do.
Okay. And anything else about elephants?
They're lucky. For some reason, I think an elephant is luck.
Oh.
Because they are so special. They're so special of an animal.
Mm. So I'm wondering why it was given away. Because there's something majestic about you. There's something that's lucky. There's someone that is caring about family, someone that is good to younger you know, younger minds, children. And I'm just wondering, what in waking life does not feel deserving of this gift? The other issue that I'm wondering about too is sitting at a table. When we table something, you know, or it's on top of the table, or let's put it down on the table. Let's get down to business at a table.
I'm not sure if there was a table there. I'm not sure if there was a table there. Yeah,
okay.
I'm not positive of that. But I just assumed in my dream that there was a table there because of the feeling that I was getting. You know, it just I think it came out of my I don't know, dreams are consciousness, aren't they? Subconscious and consciousness?
Oh, yeah. Everything. you know, I mean, if it felt like a table, or if it felt like sitting at a place where, you know, you are sitting down to something or being present at something. So it could be a table, it could be a chair, a podium, or it can be just being present to something.
I think I was present to something.
And then the number 9, you know, I like to think of 9 as, okay, 9 months of pregnancy, 9 months of, you know, 9 is kind of the end of a cycle, number 1 through 9. So now there's a beginning when we go into 10 or we go back into 1. So now I'm wondering, if this was a few years ago, you know, I'm wondering, was there something that was present that came to a close, came to an end? But then, you know, there's that luck, there's that amazing gift, a winning of an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, something about that kindness, that wisdom, that ancient wisdom is not deserving, and so therefore, let me give it away. So for me, the medicine would be, take another look at the elephant. And maybe, you know, the elephant will come back. And then this time, you know, close your eyes and touch the elephant. You know, they say that there's a Buddhist story about what is the reality of life. And so, you know, there's these monks are blind. And so there's a monk that feels the leg and says, oh, you know, this animal has leathery skin. This animal is very big and chunky. Then there's another one that the blind person touches the trunk. Oh, wait, this animal is thin, long and thin, you know. Then there's another person that starts to touch the ear. Oh, no, this animal is flappy. And you know, so there's all these descriptions of various parts of our life, various parts of our psyche, various parts of ourselves. And then looking at the whole story, it becomes an elephant. Does that kind of resonate?
Oh, that does. Yes, yes, yeah. It does, because certain, like with my, that I've touched on my spirituality, visions, and it's like, but those things you kind of keep private because it's between you and God or whomever you want to call that
right.
You know, yeah. But
there. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go on. No, you go.
Well, I guess I'm just wondering, what is it that's being given away? And what is it that doesn't feel deserving? And so again, you know, I would kind of meditate on the elephant. You know?
I think my whole life I've been put down a lot by my father, and no matter what I did, no matter what I said, I even, you know, took care of him and this and that in his older age and all, nothing was good enough. And it was so hard. Oh my gosh. To get someone, you know, it was incredibly hard,
yeah.
And it affected me throughout my adult life too. But I'm letting that go. You know, I don't want to harp on that, but letting it go. But so I have to nurture myself even more so every day, and also take my time for the alone time and all. And I have to be very, very good at that because I'm the one nurturing myself, you know?
Yeah. And that kindness to family, that kindness to that majesticness kept being sacrificed, kept being given away. And so that's why perhaps the elephant is a beautiful medicine, you know, to remind ourselves, wait a minute, we are majestic. We are kind you know, we have experience. We have experience to pass on to younger minds.
Yes.
So, I hope that resonates.
Oh, so much, yeah. That's incredible. You gave me a whole new outlook on it. Yeah, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Put it all together. Thank you so much. I so appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
Helped me very much.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate you. I hope you'll come call us again soon.
Thank you, Holly. Good night.
You're welcome. Have a
good night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that
Boy,
was very,
we're
very
having
interesting.
Wonderful. Yeah, we're having wonderful animal dreams. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Let me see if there. Let's see. If you're wanting to talk about your dreams tonight, Marin is here to help you sort through your dreams. The phone number is 516-387-1921. That number again is 516-387-1921. I love elephants, you know, because they're all about good luck and majesty, but they also, you know, sometimes represent the divine. And we were getting a lot of animal messengers tonight. So
goodness.
That's,
and very powerful ones, yeah.
Yes.
I
very,
was,
very powerful ones. Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it looks like, Marin, that we don't have any more callers tonight. So we're going to let this go early. And y'all, I will be back on Wednesday doing readings. And y'all, you have a great evening. Okay? Night.
Thank you. Wonderful talking to everyone. Thank you.